All right, so this is the section on the two creations. We left off on, if you got your books, we left off on page 82. This really ties in quite well with the resurrection. And he talks about these two creations on page 82. All right? So just some things that I highlighted here. Unless we are created anew, we can never fit into the new realm. So it's all about bringing that not bringing the old into the new. That's especially important, you know, if you're trying to, you know, restart or reconnect in a relationship and things like that. Bringing up the old stuff as a criteria, that's not the God way of doing it. You're just going to have to let some things go. That old can't be brought into the new. I like when he talks about John 3:6. We talked about that a little bit last week in 1 Corinthians 15:50. And I highlighted this piece of the book. Flesh is still flesh. Whether you are were in the flesh and you're not saved, or whether you are saved and you're following the steps and you're progressing in your Christian walk, you can still get in the flesh. Everybody know that. All right. I'm looking at some of these churches that don't want to shut down and they don't want to use online. I know they love the Lord. But, man, that is just a really bad witness. If you're going to have 1,000 people, if you're going to have 60 people roll up in your church, that's just really bad. Where are they missing it at? And I was just reading some scriptures in my quiet time. Saying, the Jews, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So it's quite possible that you can love the Lord, you can be all down for the Lord, and that you're faithful in the Lord, but the flesh can get into the work that you're trying to do in the ministry, and then all of a sudden it becomes a bad testimony and a bad witness for the kingdom, all right? So our fitness for the new kingdom is determined by the creation to which we belong. Do we belong to the old creation or the new creation? The bottom line on that, and he kind of sums it up here, it's just a matter of flesh or spirit. And it doesn't seem to be any middle ground on that. Either you're in the flesh or in the flesh, as Al would say. I like that. Or you're in the spirit. All right. Because if you're in the flesh, everything you're trying to do is just going to wind up being flushed. It cannot be brought into... the kingdom. All right. He moves on a little bit more and gets over into page 83. And he says, we can never bring any contribution from the old realm into that new thing. And I told you last week about, ice cream money and things like that. Oh, let me see. I want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. Okay, I think we're good. All right. And I just highlighted, he could not bring us as we were into that which he had purpose. So he first did away with us with the cross of Christ. And so those are steps of the feast again. You know, those first two steps, humble submission to God and then that burial process. All right. That's those first two steps. And then by resurrection, and praise God for resurrection day today, that brings us into getting out of the old and getting into the new. And I just love 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right. So if you want a new relationship with somebody, you got to bury the old and start it out from fresh. I had an example, my first relationship, my first marriage, I had a daughter out of that, and she didn't grow up with me. And, I was still there providing support, but, you know, didn't see her that often, and she did not grow up with me. And then as she got older and teenager, we started to be able to connect, and you know, there's a whole lot of animosity there, the new family and the new kids or whatever, you know, and, you know, there's just, it's just a difficult time for her. So I'm there on vacation. I'm meeting with her in person for the first time in a couple years. And, man, there was just a lot of tension, a lot of animosity, because she felt hurt. And the Lord, I didn't know anything about Watchman Nee then, but the Lord just kind of showed me some things as I'm talking to her. And I said, you know, I can't talk to you about all the stuff that happened in the past, because I can't correct that. And I can't correct the failure of the relationship between your mom and I. But here's what I can tell you. I'm here now. And moving forward, what do you want? Do you want to dwell on the past hurt? Or do you want to step into something new, because your dad and your father is here right now? And so we don't talk about all of that old stuff. And we stopped talking about that old stuff at that meeting. And our relationship has been built on right now and the future. And she's one of the folks that, I mean, of all my kids, she's the one that was not growing up with me, is the one that is probably one of the closest relationships I have as far as my children is concerned. This works real well in prison ministry, because you're talking to inmates who are incarcerated and they're separated from their families, and, you know, their children may or may not have the respect for them. And when I give them this testimony, it gives them hope. Because they figure, man, if God did that for him, he can relate and understand that I can be reconciled to others, and I can do it the same way. We deal with the old, but we step into the new, and you don't have to keep bringing that old stuff up, because if you want to bring that old stuff into the relationship, it's just not going to work. All right? And my daughter and I, we never bring up that old stuff, because it's already been dealt with. It's already been healed. There's no need to bring that back up again. I hope that helps about two or three people, because it really works well in the jails or whatever. And so there's this principle here of this resurrected life. Once you deal with the old, the next step moving forward in progression is, let's start brand new. Let's start brand new. All right. The cross was the means that God used to bring an end to the old thing. So again, we're talking about those first two steps in our process. Humility, you pick up the cross, the burial, and then the resurrection is the means that he employed to impart to us all that was necessary for our life in that new world. So everything that we need in our new walk, in our current walk, in our normal walk with Christ is encompassed in the resurrection. All right. I heard a pastor preach this. I think Jay Wolf out of First Baptist. After I listened to the Von Forrest, I listened to First Baptist, and he gave 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So it's the greatness of Christ in us through his resurrection that gives us the power and the ability to do things that we were never able to do before in our old nature. All right? Okay. Drop my pen when you pick that up again. All right. You guys chime in as we go forward if you see anything here that I might be missing. But I just love this story, and I just love the principles that Nee is bringing out here. He talks about on page 84, I have to look at the page. Resurrection is God's new starting point. Resurrection is God's new starting point. All right. You may be a good man in the old creation, but as long as you belong to the old, you are under sentence of death, because nothing of the old can go over to the new. The cross is God's declaration that all that is of the old creation must die. All right. I'm just going to pause right there and make sure that we understand that as a concept. So I've got I got two main points in my theology or my foundation of how I see the Bible, how I apply the word. And the first, as you know, is the feast. I think that is just foundational, principle-wise. I mean, you know, those are the steps. You follow the steps. You get in right relationship with God. I follow the steps every day. I pray the steps or whatever. That's the Bible. That's like a principle or a rule or whatever. That is the way you get closer to the Lord. You follow those steps. You humble yourself. You repent. You find a new hope, new life in Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you. Then you're able, after step four, to do ministry to others and mercy and share mercy. When tough times come, you still have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you make sure that you stay in alignment with God and His holiness. And then you have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Those are the seven steps. Awesome. I think that you can go to town with that. That's the way you roll. That is a principle. That's how you get in right relationship with God and you progress. But the other thing that I see as a divine principle is the whole idea of resurrection means new. And sometimes I got that mixed up because I thought resurrection meant changed and that I can change the old. Me here is creating something different, and he's saying, no, resurrection is a brand new starting point. It's new. You can't bring the old over into the new. That's a foot stomper. That is the paradigm shift. I think that's one of the major divine principles or truths that we have to understand as believers, because I keep trying to bring old stuff into new stuff, and it just doesn't work that way. Now, you'll notice that if we've been in Bible study together and relationship together, when you start looking at the feast, Al, unmute yourself and I'm going to ask you a question. When we start going through the feast, isn't it kind of interesting that as we go through Scripture, we see the feast kind of play out all over the place? Over and over again, you look at Scripture, you see these sequences of steps one way or the other. Can you agree with that, Al?
Yes, I got it on my wall in my
bed now. Yeah, because every time, and as you understand those feasts, every time you go through the Bible, you'll see some of those steps pop up in their proper sequence, right?
Right.
So that's how we roll, and that's how we do Bible study. But now, once you understand the feast as a principle, it gives you greater understanding as you go through the Bible. Once you understand what Watchman Nee is saying here, really what Nee is showing through the Scriptures, when you look at Romans, and that we're buried with Christ, we're crucified with Christ, but we're risen anew and we're new, all right, that becomes a new principle. And once you understand the newness part, then it's going to bring a new revelation and understanding to Scriptures, and you'll see this concept of newness pop out. So, what I want to do is, as I was looking at this and studying this, I know we talked about Abraham last week and how he tried to carry this old into the new, and it kind of delayed the arrival, I think, of Isaac. I want to give you another example, and you'll see it in Mark, and you'll see it in Luke chapter 5 and in Mark 2:22. I think so. And it's this idea of new wine and old wineskins. Anybody remember that that piece of scripture? I mean, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm not, but it's over in Mark, second chapter, verse 22. I think it's also accounted for in Luke 5 in my notes or whatever. And he talks about you can't put new wine in old wineskins. And so I did a little research on it, and I looked it up online or whatever, and it says, new wine goes into fermentation. And when wine starts to ferment, it expands as gases are released. So a new wineskin can absorb the expansion. So as the wine slowly ages and releases these gases and expands, the new wineskin can expand with those gases and age with the wine. That makes sense. But they said the old wineskin has already assumed a definite shape. It's fixed. It's not flexible. It can't be changed because it's already been, the shape that it's in is the shape that it's in. It can't expand anymore. All right. So when you put the new wine into the old wineskin and that new wine starts to ferment and expand and grow, the old wineskin can't grow or expand with it because it's fixed. And guess what happens to the wineskin?
It busts open.
It busts open. Guess what happens to the wine?
Runs out.
Runs out. So you lose it. So you lose the wineskin and you lose the new wine. Can you guys see in the natural that example? Can you see in the spiritual how that doesn't work for us if we try to put the Holy Spirit into our old body, our old thinking? Our old thinking cannot hold or maintain all of what God wants to do and expand with us. You cannot bring the old into the new. So as I'm looking at what Nia is saying here, I'm looking at how he's revealing and understanding these scriptures into this principle. That old wineskin thing, when that popped up, man, I understand that as an example, because I didn't grow up in an era where you use old wineskins. You had bottles. And I don't know how to sew. So if anybody knows anything about sewing, he also goes into, hey, and you can't sew a new piece of cloth on an old garment. Now, I don't know how that's supposed to work. I mean, because I don't sew stuff. I guess if you wash something and it shrinks, it's gonna cause a rip or a tear. So it's not going to work. So the bottom line is, putting new wine into old wineskins does not work. Will putting God's Spirit into the old man work?
No.
No. Then why do we do it?
Right.
Failure.
With our sin nature.
But it got buried. Man, I tell you, these zombie saints will kill you. And so what he's saying is you can't bring that old in. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I kept living this way. But I just kept bringing that old stuff because it was comfortable. It was like an old shoe. It's like Linus's blanket or whatever. But when you bring that into the spiritual realm, it'll mess it up. It'll mess up your relationship. You can't bring your old hurt into your new season. Resurrection Day means that God took care of all that old stuff. You got to start brand new. Got to start brand new.
It ain't a one-time thing either. It's every day, all during the day.
Good gracious. And why is that, Susan? Don't drop us on that. You can't just leave like that. I mean, explain that. Because why is that? Because it does happen. And so why is it that we got to do it every day?
Well, I know that y'all's flesh because I know y'all are all much more saintly and spiritual than me.
Now, when you say y'all's flesh, are you talking about you spiritually, or are you talking about that guy next to you?
Today. I mean, it's all the time. I just can't. mean, shoot, I may have a couple of good hours.
Yeah, it's the sequence. And so, I mean, we talked about that last week where we talked about the progression or whatever. And so I think each day, each moment, you have to, and I'm learning more and more about when Christ kept saying, watch and pray and watch and watch and watch. And I'm like, you know, what am I looking for? What am I watching for? I'm watching for things like this. I'm watching for that old world to come into my new world.
Don't you think that it's one of Christians in our day and time, it's one of our main problems that because Christians see that they can't live righteously, that they just, instead of learning these principles to start living in the new life, to start walking in kingdom thought and principle, they just give up.
Yeah, which... One is the way to salvation, because when I give up, then I realize I have to surrender to God. But I think when we bring our flesh in, part of bringing our flesh in is not just thoughts and ideas and hurt feelings and those types of things. I mean, that's part of it, too. But I think the big part for me is doing things in my own strength. That is the biggest issue that I deal with. Is past hurt, past history, and I pretty much have, I'm pretty good at putting that aside and moving forward because the steps gets me past that. But it's just that, man, I got this, and I'm okay from here. God, I don't need you here. It's that lack of trust, or it's the pride that tells me, yeah, I got this. Let me go down and do it. When I played sports. That was a humbling for me because no matter what I did, if I was running track, playing basketball or whatever, I always prayed and knew that, hey, you know, I got to do this for the Lord. I need God's strength in order to be able to do this. Whenever I got ready to try to do something in my own strength, my success in that caused me to have pride. And now all of a sudden I'm outrunning my coverage. And that's the word I've been using for most of this week and some other discussions. I don't want to outrun my coverage. God is working in your life and he's blessing you. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get a little piece of rope, want to be a cowboy, and you outrun your coverage. When I mean you outrun your coverage is you get past the Holy Spirit and you really are out there and you are on your own. And you don't know it. And so, yes, it's every day I have to. It's not even every day, Susan. I'm not even as good as you. It could be several, and you've heard me say this before, there might be several moments in the day because I can be in the Holy of Holies and then something will happen and it comes from the enemy that's trying to get you out of right relationship with God. And he'll work through other people. Oh, you're so holy. Let me get your spouse or your mate or your friend or your kids or your job or something like that, or the circumstances, the coronavirus, to cause you to stop trusting in God and this new resurrected life and power that you have, and you start trusting in yourself. And then that messes us up. All right. Good points. And I just, you know, we got to get this right because it's the principle. All right, over on page 85. Yeah. So, yes, sir.
I just was going to say that Paul talks about that in Romans, the 7th chapter, starting around the 14th verse.
Yeah.
He explains all of that. And he identifies it to the sin nature that is in us. It is the reason why we do these things. He say, those things that I would do, I do not. And those things that I should do, I don't do, you know.
Right.
And if that sin is within me. He talks about that in Romans, the 7th chapter, starting at the 14th verse from the end.
So, I really wanted to go there, but Nee spends about a whole chapter later in the book on just that concept. And when we get to that chapter, it might take another week or two, but when we get to that particular chapter, that's going to be very interesting. It's going to be eye-opening because I used to use that scripture as an excuse to continue to be weak. I figured if Paul is having trouble living the life, well, who the heck am I? And that's not exactly what Paul was meaning there. The struggle is real, but the victory is already in Christ. And so he's going to take us through those scriptures. And that's a good point that you brought that up. Yeah. In fact, as we go further in the book, Nee is going to be all over from Romans 5 through about Romans 8. He's all over that like a hungry dog on a new bone. So
butter on a biscuit.
For you today, the biscuit lady, that's a good one.
Like donuts from Ross. Oh. Get me some tomorrow.
Now look at you. Oh boy, here we go. All right, I started it. That's on me. All right.
I wanted to share, I have a sticky note that I have on my desk.
Come on with your sticky note.
It says that sin is trying to form my own identity apart from God.
Oh, that's good. Say that one more time.
Sin is trying to form my own identity apart from God. And I think about that in terms of Satan, because I think that's what Satan did.
Yes.
He wanted to form his own identity apart from God, and I think he uses that in his crafting of our temptation. He wants us to be like him,
right,
instead of to be like God. And so if Satan is wanting his own identity, he's trying to teach us to have our own identity apart from God as well.
Exactly.
It's very helpful to me to try and remember that I'm not supposed to be trying to create my own identity.
No, my identity is in Christ and the Holy Spirit and proper acknowledgement of the scriptures shows me how to stay connected to the vine. All right, so now Nee does a really good thing here, I think, and he starts talking about baptism on page 85. So he says, baptism in scripture is associated with salvation. And then he starts answering the question, what is salvation? And I kind of agree or disagree. He says, it relates not to our sins nor to the power of sin, but to the cosmos of the world system. I think it, and who's trying to call me? All right. It relates to I think we are saved from the power of sin, but I think salvation also is the salvation from the world system, because we are involved in Satan's world system, and so we need to be saved. So he's pointing salvation not just to saving from sin. He's saying it's saving from the world system. And then he starts talking about baptism, and he takes us to 1 Peter 3 and 20, and I want to just pull that up real quick. If I can figure out where it is, let me stop sharing for a minute. And let me go back and share my screen again and find out where I put that. Yeah. I don't know where I put it. Okay. I put it on my screen. I had it open on my screen somewhere. All right. Anyway, let me go back. So if you look at, now I have to get my Bible out. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3,
verse
20. Yeah, around verse 20, he starts talking about what baptism is a figure of. I got it here. All right. I'm going to go back to verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once long the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Did anybody see any significance there? Why does he point out eight souls, you think? One reason.
Noah.
Yeah, there were eight souls on the ark, but why not seven? Why not six?
Eight is a new beginning.
Oh my God. What kind of beginning?
New beginning.
Absolutely. So 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings. And so he's pointing to this resurrection thing as this is a new beginning. All right. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So I think that's why Nee comes up with, hey, it's not just about the sins. It's about being saved from this world system and self. By the, oh, and it is Resurrection Sunday. And how do we get out of the world system? How do we get out of sin? How do we get out of this self? How do we step into something brand new? It is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what does the resurrection of Christ mean to us today as we look into this?
New life, new creatures.
Absolutely. New life, new creatures. And so how can I use that new life in my right now situation? Look at the next verse, 22. Who has gone to heaven and is in the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So if we have new life, who is that new life in? It's in Christ. And Christ now has authority and powers that are subjected to him. So if he has that kind of power and we're in him, what do we have?
We have the same power.
We've got the same power. And what can we do with that power? Hey, let me tell you this. You can now do with that power the things that you were never able to do before that you tried to do in your own strength. You can have the relationships that...
One thing is love others, because we can't love others without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, not consistently.
Consistently, faithfully, yeah. Picking up the cross every day, which is level 5 after you have gone through this baptismal period. You really can't do real good ministry the way God wants you to do ministry for the kingdom unless you have gone through this baptismal process and the old corrupt stuff has been washed away. All right. Don't have time right now, but if you kept reading 1 Peter going into a little bit of chapter 4, you're going to see some other things, like verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So when I get into the resurrection of Christ, I've already done something. I've already crucified the flesh. Don't skip the steps. And then I like verse 6 where it says, but live according to God in the Spirit. So I just love how he's used this whole baptismal thing. And it also points back in history in the Old Testament to Egypt. Because when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, what was he taking them out of? What does Egypt represent in that story? Sin,
slavery,
bondage, and the world. So he takes them, and if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, I don't want you to be ignorant, you wilderness saints, those of us who have been baptized and out in the wilderness on our way to the promised land, I don't want you to be ignorant that all your fathers, your forefathers, they were baptized too. When were they baptized? They were baptized in the water and the Spirit when they crossed the Red Sea. And what happened when they crossed the Red Sea? They looked back and what did they see that was in the water? All that old stuff that was chasing after them. So the spiritual principles that come out in the Exodus story are the same spiritual principles and that newness, all right, that we have and that we should be experiencing and living today. If he used the waters to baptize them and wash away that old stuff, did they need to take any of that old stuff over with them on their way to God's kingdom? No. But how did they fail?
They did at one point, at many points.
At many points.
They had, yeah.
Yeah, because they kept murmuring and complaining and wishing for the stuff that just got washed away. How crazy is that? If I take a bath and I wash and there's a ring around the tub, what do I do before I take my next bath?
Clean
the tub. Why would I want to put new water into the old nasty tub?
I don't know.
I know, but we do.
And will we do that after we come through the worst of this coronavirus? What God is doing in us and making new. I literally have a holy fear of that in my own life.
You know, I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I think I heard it last week. I think, Susan, I think you mentioned it last week, that, hey, when we get through this, will it be business as usual?
No.
I think for some people it will. It better not be for us as saints, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh,
yeah. Lord. Yep. Yeah, Al, you might have got your last handshake from me, buddy. Okay. All right. It is baptism into his death. It is ending one creation, but it is also baptism into Christ Jesus. So it's not just the burial. It is the next step, which is that new life. All right. You come up in Christ, but your world is drowned. All right. Okay. Then he talks about burial as a means to end. This takes us over to page 86 and brings us over into page 87 when, again, he talks about in Romans 6:4, he explains that baptism means burial. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism. Baptism is, of course, connected with both death and resurrection. Though in itself it is neither death nor resurrection, it is burial. But who qualifies for burial? Only the dead. And he starts talking about, you know, you don't have new life until you're dead. And he goes to that whole kind of example there. And he says, burial is a means to death. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I missed that. He says, alas, this is the warning. Some have been taught to look at burial as a means to death, and they try to die by getting themselves buried. Everybody understand what he was saying there?
They're trying to do it in their own power.
Yes, that's true. But make sure you understand the sequence here, what he's saying here. Okay, because this, when you're understanding the natural, you'll understand how ridiculous this is. He says, some of us have been taught that we get buried before we die. So we get buried alive. Is that how it's supposed to work?
No.
You got to die first. And then you get buried. All right? So that's important because he said some people have been taught that they try to bury themselves before they die or humble themselves. They're trying to repent without saying, I'm really sorry. That doesn't work. And so when you take it back to the feast, that's like trying to do step two before you do step one, which means it's out of order. So if you do step two out of order, if you skip step one and do step two, how far do you think you can get in the feast as far as your relationship with God? Not very far. But in your mind, do you think you're going somewhere?
Yes, but we can't serve two masters.
And until you submit, oh my God, so true. So until you do that first step of submitting to God, then you're not going to be able to do the burial part that he's looking for. And you can't get the resurrection that we're talking about today. All right, so he talks about the reason we step into the water is that we have recognized that in God's sight, we have already died. So once we get to the humble submission of God, Then we do that burial part where we put that old apart. All right. Then he talks about a Chinese woman that refused to bury her husband after he'd been dead for a while. All right. And then he gives a warning. Once I'm fully persuaded before God that I'm dead, then I apply for baptism. Not any sooner. So until you know that you've done step one and two, you can't enjoy the resurrection. All right. You can say Happy Easter and Resurrection Day all you want. If you haven't humbled yourself and if you haven't been to the cross, you can't get out of the tomb. All right. Okay. Then he talks about again about this old world and the new world. The old world and the new world. I want to be in the new world. I don't want to bring my old world into the new world. All right. And he says this resurrected life affirms that we're cut off from the old world and we belong to the new. And then he wants to highlight that baptism is no small thing. It is a means for me to make a definite conscious break with the old way of life. So let me hit that spiritual principle again. Just like we teach about the feast and those seven steps are divine principles. The whole idea of resurrection, meaning brand new, not changed, but brand new, that concept will open up the understanding of the Bible to us much more and help us be able to do some of the things that Susan's talking about, to be able to watch and make sure that old stuff and us trusting in our old self does not pollute or get in the way of what we're trying to do in Christ, because it's only through His power and His might that we're able to do those things and be successful. All right. And then he says, you should never have been baptized if you meant to live on in the old realm. So if you're trying to establish a relationship with somebody and you're still going to, and you mean to do that by keep bringing up the old stuff, why even bring up the new relationship? All right. So now let me see where that takes us in the 5 minutes we got left, because I really want to finish this chapter. Where are we? 89. I think we're hitting around 90. Okay, we're on page 90. All right. The real meaning behind baptism is that in the cross we are baptized into the historic death of Christ. So His death becomes ours. Okay, I know we've done this before. Let me make sure. It's Resurrection Day. What does that mean in conjunction with what Nia is saying here? The real meaning behind baptism, well, let's just say this. The real meaning behind the resurrection is that we are baptized, or we're risen with the historic death and resurrection of Christ. What does that mean to us?
Jesus was the first fruits.
Yes.
He died and was resurrected. And so to us, we know that we can die to our old self.
Yes.
And we can be resurrected to new life here on earth in our relationship with Him. And then we have the promise of the future resurrection from the dead.
Absolutely. So we've got a partial fulfillment of the promise in our new life. And then we got the ultimate completion of that as we get through to the rapture and the coming kingdom. Amen. So, Susan, you're almost saying that I can live that life right now through the power of His resurrection.
If I didn't have that hope, I'd just lay down and die right now.
If I didn't have that hope right now, I'd be, I don't even know if I'm going to say what I'd be doing to Al right now if I didn't have that hope right now. Absolutely. But He's not giving me just life. He's giving me His life and His power. So now I can do things that I was not able to do before, because I'm operating under the power of His might and His power, because He dwells in me. And that's what Nia is saying here on page 91. He says, and he's referencing Romans 6, 5, if we have become united with him by the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So what a wonderful Resurrection Day message. And seeing what he's talking about here in Romans 6, 5. And then he talks about his resurrection enters into me, imparting to me a new life. I in Christ and Christ in me. How do I receive this new life? He talks about. And then he starts bringing in this word called grafted. And he just talks about grafting of trees and how he talked to this old farmer in China and how he grafts trees. And I'm not that well. Maybe Jimmy knows something about it. If he kills bugs, maybe he knows how to graft stuff or whatever. I don't know. Then he starts talking about skin grafts and those types of things. And as I was looking at that and looking at the grafting, it took me back to Romans 11, because there's someplace else in the Bible where he talks about grafting, grafting in. And in Romans 11, he talks about how the Jews, those branches are broken off, and how the Gentiles are grafted in. And that grafting process means that we are connected to the true vine. Isn't that wonderful? So, Jimmy, do you do flowers and stuff like that? Do you?
No.
Never mind. All right.
Well,
so
Jimmy is a killer of things. He's
I like to keep on going. And
I will say, I'll put in a little plug. We were riding around yesterday to get out, and I said, ride me by Chuck's house.
Oh, you saw the roses.
Your lawn was beautiful.
Yeah, and I got cut. But did you see the roses? Because she's got some roses.
Yeah,
oh.
And the rocks. Ruth worked so hard.
Yes.
Yes. So the flowers are built upon the rock. But anyway, hey, is it okay if I take 5 more minutes? Is that all right? I got a steak waiting for me. I want to get a steak, but I really want to finish this chapter or whatever, just to say I accomplished something, especially if I can tell David that we move to another chapter and get a hold of him. All right. The new birth is the reception of a life which I did not possess before. I think that's so awesome. God has cut off the old creation by the cross of his son in order to bring in a new creation in Christ by his resurrection. And so it's that grafting. And then when I was thinking about the grafting and looking at Romans 11 and how he's a part of us and he uses the natural for the grafting. When we lived our life before, we were outside of Christ. And so just think of this in the natural. You got a tree that's the true tree that's bearing fruit. And then you got us that is not bearing fruit, and we're separated from the true vine. God says, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take your branch, and I'm going to graft you into the true vine. So when the true vine receives rain, who else gets the rain?
We do.
How do we get that? Because we're grafted in. If the gardener puts Miracle-Gro on the true vine, who gets Miracle-Gro?
The grafted
in. And how do I get a Miracle-Gro experience in my life today from that example? Through my belief. I believe.
Just being in Christ.
That I'm in Christ and that his resurrected life is inside of me. So when he blesses, I'm with him. I get that same miracle grow, which means we can get up from stuff. We can get up from hurt. We can get up from disappointment. We can achieve things that we were never able to achieve outside of him, because now we are in him and he is in us. That is the simple message, but that is the principle. And as we go forward, we cannot let the old be brought into the new. So you got to keep fighting that. And Susan brought some of that up. You got to keep fighting that. So, all right. Two more minutes. Oh, chapter 6. We already in chapter 6? No, we don't want to go to chapter 6 yet. We want to... Where am I at here? All right. Man. That's page 94. I think we're good. Let me just read this last little part here that I don't have highlighted. That I had highlighted here. My baptism is my public testimony of fact. That is, by my oral witness, my confession is made unto salvation. So, Romans 10:10 says, hey, when you confess with your mouth, you're saved. How can I use that in my day-to-day life?
My, confess all day long.
Oh, okay. What am I confessing? What am I... Okay, sharing my testimony, but how can I even encourage myself before I can share my testimony?
You can read and speak His word out loud over yourself.
Oh my goodness, because life and death comes through the power of the tongue. So what am I speaking then? So some of the things I can be speaking is, I got a situation I'm going through, but I'm going to speak my resurrected life, my resurrected power, because I'm experiencing what Christ went through, and if Christ can get up from it, I can get up from it too. All right?
Amen.
So let me get ready to close out. I want you to be praying. What are you saying, Al?
Before you close out, where did you get this large print here?
Where did I get it? Uh-huh. How much money you got?
Oh.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, was that some of the old that just jumped out? Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Let me watch myself. This is a Word file that I got offline, and it's in this big print. I mean, it's a Word document. You want me to forward it to you?
Yeah, do that.
Did you say that's going to be a lot of forehead? Yeah, well, we can do that because through the power of Christ. Yeah, all right. If anybody wants this, just let me know and I'll send you. I found this, and so it works for me, so it's great. All right, let's get ready to close. We're 6 minutes over. Love you guys. I do want you to be praying for. I do want you to be praying for a friend of mine. You know, there was a death. Somebody got killed about a week ago. A young kid. I don't know if you guys remember that murder over on Cherry Street, and that was a friend of ours. And his. In fact, you know him. Remember my little armor bearer that used to come to class every now and then? Looks like Troy Polamalu, got the long hair.
Yeah.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
That's the one? Well, his brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was encouraging him, I was sharing with him, because, you ask the question, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How is God going to get glory from this? How is God going to get glory from coronavirus? How is God going to get glory out of this tragic death? And we went through these scriptures and we talked about being grafted in. So I want you guys to be praying for Ronnie and his family as the funeral was yesterday. But here's what I was able to share with him from this Bible study. You're connected to your brother, but you're also connected to God. And because you're connected to God and connected to your brother, this event is going to make your ministry bigger, because now you're going to be able to take this tragedy and how you deal with it and relate it to somebody else, especially when you're talking to other youth. And so your brother is still alive through your ministry because of this grafting, because of the indwelling power of Christ. And so these are some of the things that we have to look at when we go through certain situations, and understanding that the resurrection of Christ is so powerful that you can see life out of dead situations. All right. That's all I have.